Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the resurrected Savior of all of mankind, dear fellow redeemed. On Easter afternoon, Ruth and I were able to see and talk to all of our children and all of our grandchildren together by Zoom. What a blessing. And I'm sure many of you experienced much of the same thing. Each of the families then sang an Easter hymn. And one of the families sang one of my favorite Easter hymns, "Morning Breaks Upon the Tomb." Morning breaks upon the tomb. Jesus scatters all its gloom. Day of triumph through the skies, see the glorious Savior rise. What wonderful truths in those few words. Gloom is scattered. Triumph is ours. Christ is risen. Every Christian should know that Easter is more than just spring, more than just new life to nature, or in this year, more than just a hopeful end to the virus and a hopeful resurrection to our economy. It's more than just rebirth. Easter is Jesus' rebirth. Easter is Jesus' bodily, physical resurrection from the dead. He who died on Friday came back to life to live on Sunday. Those are the facts. But how do those facts apply to us? What's the meaning of those facts to your life and to mine? Well, there are several applications and meanings. The first is that since Jesus did rise from the dead as he said he would, we can believe that everything Jesus tells us is true. He is trustworthy. He said, "I will lay down my life and I'll take it up again." But that also tells us that he's more than a man. He's the God-man. He took his life back again. He rose from the dead by his power. We also see that he's the only life that gives life. His sacrifice paid the full price for the sins of the whole world. If it had not been sufficient, if his death and his damnation on the cross had not been sufficient to pay for the sins of every single sin, of every single sinner from the beginning of time to the end of time, the Father would not have raised Jesus from the dead. And then, like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, our faith would be futile, useless, empty, worthless, and be still in our sins. But, thank God, Jesus did rise from the dead. We have full and free forgiveness. And finally, Jesus' resurrection has this meaning to us, which is our point for this evening. Because Jesus' grave is empty, so shall ours be. And what a comfort that is to all of us who someday will have to face death if Christ doesn't come before that happens. Our text for this evening is very familiar to most of you. Martha is speaking to Jesus. She is the sister to Mary and Lazarus. These three siblings were very near and dear to Jesus. They lived in Bethany, a city 2 miles from Jerusalem on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. Jesus spent many days with them. In fact, we believe that 3 of the nights during Holy Week, Jesus spent with these 3 loved ones of his before his crucifixion. In the first portion of chapter 11 of John, we're told that Lazarus was very, very ill. And Mary Martha sent notice to Jesus. We believe he was in Perea, northeast of Galilee, or of Bethany. And they told him, the one you love is very ill. And Jesus stayed for a couple days. Then after a few days, he came to Bethany. But it appeared he was too late. Lazarus had already died. In fact, he had been dead for 4 days. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming down the road, she ran out to meet him and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Surely Martha had seen Jesus heal many people, many from even some deadly diseases. And she thought, "Oh, if you would have just come sooner, if you'd just been here a few days earlier, you could have saved my brother from this illness, from this disease." But then she added this, "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." There was still some hope in her heart that maybe even now, Jesus could do some miracle, something could happen for her brother. Well, Martha's thoughts, understandably, were centered on her brother, on his dead body. But Jesus now directs her thoughts, her desires, her attention, her eyes away from the grave, away from the sadness and the sorrow and the grief of death, toward himself. He says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha, of course, thinking that Jesus is talking about the resurrection on the great day of judgment, says, agreeing to it, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But how and why is Martha so sure of that resurrection? How are you and I so sure of that resurrection on judgment day? Because of the very person that's standing there right in front of her. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus is life. Jesus is the giver of life to mankind. He is the resurrection to new life for mankind. And these words that Jesus spoke in this event took place about a month before Jesus' crucifixion. So Jesus is saying to Martha, "I'm going to rise again. I'm the resurrection of life." He's promising it will take place. And sure enough, Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. So what do these words mean? Well, Lazarus was a believer in Jesus. He trusted in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but he died, much like all the Old Testament and other New Testament believers had died in the past. But he, like all those who have died in Christ, will not stay dead. They will rise again. They will not become lost and come to an end in their existence, but they will come back to life. But Mary and Martha also believe in Jesus, but they were alive. And Jesus says, they shall by no means die forever. They too shall die. Their soul will never die. On resurrection day, their body and their souls will be gathered together with Jesus, and they shall be joined together throughout all eternity to live with the Lord. But what about the here and the now? So often when we go through grief, sadness, sorrow, suffering, we want relief now, not some unknown day, somewhere down the line, somewhere in the future. And that's our great comfort in this text too. Whatever happens to us here and now, whether we're going through isolation, loneliness, sickness, frustration, loss of a job, loss of income, or the grieving death of a loved one, the Lord assures us that in the present as well as in the future, we are assured in Christ. He is our resurrection and life. We know that because Jesus didn't just speak these words of comfort to Martha. He put these words into action. He had the power to fulfill them. Very often we say things when people go through life-changing sorrows or sufferings, lose a loved one, we might say things like, I'm sure you'll feel better soon, or have a nice day, or I fear your loss. But Jesus' words were words to trust in, to believe in, to cling to. So what did Jesus do? He walked over to Lazarus' tomb, told him to roll away the stone, and in a loud voice he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days, still wrapped up in his grave clothes from head to foot, came walking out alive. Death is conquered. Death is destroyed by Christ's command. Even before Jesus raised Lazarus, when he said those words to Martha, he said to her, do you believe this? How'd she respond? With a heart of faith, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. How about us? What do we say? What would we say? Well, we have the proof. We have the proof in Jesus' words. We have the proof when Jesus raised Lazarus. And we have the ultimate proof when Jesus also raised himself from the dead. The tomb is empty. Now, Jesus hasn't assured you and me that when we die, 4 days later, he'll raise us from the dead. But through his resurrection from the grave and his tomb being empty, he assures every one of us that when we die, we will be resurrected. On that last great day of judgment, he will resurrect us to live with him forever in heaven. And here lies the glorious application, the glorious meaning to both the words of Jesus as well as his empty tomb. Lazarus died because of his sins. And someday, all of us, if Christ doesn't come before then, because of our sins, will also die, and our bodies will be placed in the grave. But even as we enter into the grave and follow Jesus into the grave, so we also follow him out of our graves, out of our tombs, into eternity. Jesus has said, because I live, you will live also. This past Wednesday, in one of our email devotions, we quoted from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 these words, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Because of Jesus' empty tomb, we need not fear our death or our grave at all. Paul again triumphantly wrote, death is swallowed up in victory. Because of Christ's empty tomb, death has been destroyed. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No more powerful words have ever been written than those. Yes, morning breaks upon the tomb. The empty tomb of Jesus and the resurrected Jesus scatters all of our gloom. There can be no more gloom in Christ, for Christ is risen. There can be no more gloom in the death of every Christian. Verse 2 of that hymn reads, ye who are of death afraid, triumph in the scattered shade. Drive your anxious cares away. See the place where Jesus lay. May we see with fearless eyes of faith the empty tomb, Jesus' empty tomb, and someday our own empty tomb. Verse 3 reads, Christian, dry your flowing tears, chase your unbelieving fears, look on his deserted grave, doubt no more his power to save. May our doubts evaporate like the morning dew when the sun rises in the sky, because Jesus rose. And because Jesus rose, our fears, our doubts, our worries, our tears are all dried up, and they too will evaporate and disappear. Easter means Jesus rose back to life. Jesus' resurrection means that we too will rise. Take a good, hard, long, believing look at that empty tomb of Jesus. Because it's going to look just like yours someday. Deserted and empty. On that day when our Savior comes and timelessness, eternity begins. We pray. It is not death to fling aside this sinful dust and rise on strong, exulting wings to live among the just. Jesus, thou Prince of Life, your chosen cannot die. Like you, they conquer in the strife to reign with you on high. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.